Three, two, one. We are live. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of All Things Anth. My name is Nick.
And my name's Noah.
And today we're going to be talking about the highly requested topic of cultural materialism. I am very excited, Noah. How are you feeling about this?
Stoked.
That's what we like to hear. All right, yeah, so let's get into it. For our listeners who aren't familiar with this concept, will you give a, basically we're going to give like a quick synopsis of what cultural materialism is, some key figures of this terminology, and then we can also dive into the major sects of what cultural materialism entails. So Noah, why don't you go ahead, break us down, and introduce us to today's topic.
Yeah, dude, I got you. So emerging as an expansion of Marxism material, cultural materialism explains cultural similarities and differences, as well as models for cultural change within a societal framework consisting three distinct levels: infrastructure, structure, and superstructure. This promotes the idea that infrastructure consisting of material realities, such as technological, economic, and reproductive facts, mold and influence the other two aspects of culture. The structure sector of cultural consists of organizational aspects of culture such as domestic and kinship systems and political economy, while the superstructure sector consists of ideological and symbolic aspects of society such as religion. This term cultural materialism was originally coined by Martin Harris in his 1968 text, The Rise of Anthropological Theory. Cultural materialism embraces three anthropological schools of thought: cultural materialism, cultural evolution, and cultural ecology.
Honestly, I couldn't have said it better than myself. Yeah, so cultural materialism, basically, I mean, he just gave you the rundown. But it's kind of like basically how humans adapt and how culture by itself basically is like created within kind of the environment and like outside factors. So let's see. I'm going to talk a little bit about Marvin Harris since you mentioned him, and his influence on this idea of cultural materialism. So like you said, Marvin Harris, the prominent cultural anthropologist, yeah, so he's written 17 different books, but most notably The Rise of Anthropological Theory, The Nature of Cultural Things, Cultural Materialism, and Theories of Culture in Postmodern Times. Who Marvin Harris was, though, he was born in 1927. He died in 2001. Most of his career, he studied at Columbia University. So now I'm going to discuss a little bit kind of about his ideas on cultural materialism. And yeah, so basically he emphasized the role of material conditions such as technology and ecology in shaping cultural practices and social structures. Marvin Harris essentially kind of gave us this whole idea of, like, he's the figurehead of this entire idea. He somewhat criticizes idealism in that the approaches of idealistic anthropology, they prioritize cultural ideas and values over material conditions, whereas material culturalism obviously is the opposite of that. And a kind of a funny thing that he always said, that's kind of like a quote of his, he said, "I don't see how you can write anything of value if you don't offend someone." And I think that's really important in anthropology, as you know, because if everyone just agreed on everything, like, we would be nowhere. So to contest different ideas, specifically about, you know, like culture, because it's just such like a vast idea, like culture itself, a system of meanings embodied by symbols. But yeah, so that is a little bit about Marvin Harris.
Okay, so we've talked about what it is and some key roles in its foundation, but what are some of the central points of this idea that stand out the most for you?
There's a lot to cultural materialism, but I do like the idea as it's a theoretical framework, basically. So It obviously emphasizes material conditions such as technology, environment, economic factors, which shape our cultural beliefs, practices, and social structures. I kind of think about it as like the old term, it's like you are a product of your environment. I feel like when it comes to being like the role that environment plays within a society definitely dictates like culture and I mean, that's where you are, like what geological location, infrastructure, what you have access to, resources, it all plays a part into the development of culture. And that's what I feel, you know, really stands out about cultural materialism. So
yeah, I definitely agree. I also believe that cultural materialism, it's kind of a tough topic to genuinely talk about and delve into a lot because we're able to see it a lot in society today and even in the past. Cultural materialists believe that technological and economic aspects play the primary role in shaping a society. Cultural materialism aims to understand the effects of technological, economic, and demographic factors on molding societal structure and superstructure through strictly scientific methods. We've been able to see this through some portions of this within the world today in a couple different ways as well. One of the most popular ways was how Harris used a cultural materialist model to examine the Hindu belief that cows are sacred and must not be killed. First, he argued that the taboos on cow slaughter were superstructural elements resulting from economic need to utilize cows as draft animals rather than as food. He also observed that the Indian farmers claimed that no calves died because cows are sacred. In reality, however, male calves were observed to be starved to death when feed supplies are low. Harris argued that the scarcity of feed, being the infrastructural change, shaped ideological, basically the superstructural beliefs of the farmers. Another good example we've been able to see in the past and even in society today was the work involved in studies of women's roles in the post-World War II in the United States. Maxine Margolis empirically studied this phenomenon and interpreted her findings according to a classic cultural materialist model. Margolis found that women were entering the workforce in large numbers. This movement was an economic necessity that increased the productive and reproductive capabilities of U.S. households. Furthermore, Margolis argues that the ideological movement known as feminism did not cause this increase of women in the workforce, but rather was a result of this movement by women into the workforce. Thus, here we see how infrastructure determines superstructure as an ideology changed to suit the new infrastructural innovations.
Yeah, definitely. All that phenomenal stuff. I think a really big kind of component of cultural materialism that you had kind of touched on a little bit with like the gender roles and the division of labor, specifically like the task between men and women. I know when it came to like the Industrial Revolution, kind of how that, the effect on family structures, who is like doing, who's like the breadwinner, who's bringing in the money, who's like staying at home, tending to the kids. And then I also liked how you had also mentioned with like religious practices. So kind of an example would be, religions that, you know, have rituals, that involve water, but they're in an arid environment where water is at a lack, having to adapt the rituals within that religion, that's definitely effective. Of like that's cultural materialism in essence, like how they have to adapt in overall. I think social hierarchies as well, you know, those play a role as far as like how caste systems are established. And modern day, you know, the rise of urban cultures, you know, like it influences cultural values, social organization, and also family structures. But yeah, I mean, those are kind of the key components of, you know, what the cultural materialism is. So just to recap, we discussed what cultural materialism is, some key figures that contributed to the idea, Marvin Harris, obviously, and some of the central points of what this topic's all about. Do you have any last thoughts, Noah?
Yeah, I do. There's been a lot of controversy with this topic as well in the past, although some scholars argue that it oversimplifies the complex interplay between culture and material conditions, neglecting the importance of ideology, power dynamics, and historical contingencies in shaping cultural practices. Despite these debates, though, cultural materialism has left a long-lasting impact on the field by emphasizing the role of material factors in understanding human societies. What about you, Nick?
Honestly, man, that was A1. That you closed it out perfectly right there. I really don't have anything more to add. Well, guys, that is all the time we have on this episode of All Things Anth. We appreciate you for listening and hope you learned something. Feel free to like, comment, subscribe, share, donate, block, report, whatever you feel like. But as always, it's been a pleasure. My name's Nick.
And my name's Noah. And we'll see you next week on All Things Anth.
Stay classy, San Diego.